Welcome to Otaku American. This is Mikey Fresh here. In this installment of Otaku American, I'm doing two things. One, I want to talk about the new season of Jujutsu Kaisen. I want to talk about the anime, The Legendary Hero is Dead. I also want to talk about Exoprimal that just was released this past the 14th. But while I'm doing these things, I'm also testing out a new microphone. That's a mobile-based microphone that's on the for the phone. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening. So in this episode, like I said, I'm going to start with Exoprimal. So far so good. The game came out July 14th. If you have Xbox Game Pass, you can play it on Game Pass for free. The game came out day one, day and date.
So Exoprimal, if you're not familiar with it, it's basically a robot mech game, arcade, coming from by way of Capcom. And basically, you are in an exosuit, basically mech-esque kind of thing. And you're fighting basically dinosaurs. So what it reminds me of is like if you played Armored Core, sort of. An arcade version of Armored Core, which is funny to say, considering a lot of people also, a lot of mech fans look at Armored Core as actually being an arcade game. It's like an arcade Armored Core meets Dino Crisis, because all you're doing is fighting dinosaurs left and right. Basically, what happens is you are part of a group. You go for this job to become an exo fighter, as they call it. And you get your first mission, you're in there with a group of other people, three other people and an android. And you have your chief, you have this girl named Mage, her nickname is Mage. I think it's like Majestic or something like that, or Majesty or something like that. And Alders. So Alders plays your tech guy, your engineer. Chief technically is the engineer. Alders is more like the research guy, and Mage is like an exo fighter also. And when you start the game, you're going on, you're being deployed, and before you know it, something happens. You get called into an island, you decide you're not gonna go down the island, and some freak accident happens. And then you end up crash landing on the island. There's an AI called, it's funny as an AI, but it's an AI called Leviathan that had brought you to the island so that you can play, that you can be a research guinea pig for him. And you end up fighting dinosaurs that he creates for you to fight so that he can make, because ultimately from what I'm playing the game as, ultimately, Leviathan is the R&D for the company, Ibis or something like that. And based upon the research and development he gets, he makes better exo fighters, exo frames, or whatever they call them. And so he's using you. He finds that humans do better when there's conflict with other humans / another conflict going on also. So he's pitting you versus other exo fighters in a, like a simulation. And you're fighting against dinosaurs while at the end you could be fighting against other exo fighters. So it's like a mixture between PvE and PvP. So ultimately, it's a hero fighter, and you have three classes to pick from. You have an assault class, and there's various different degrees of assault. You have a support class, which there's various different degrees of support. And then you also have a tank class, which you have various degrees of that too. So for the most part, obviously, I play a lot of support. I find myself playing a lot of support in these games only because most people who play support characters slash healers are straight ass with it, because most people play who play those kind of games, or play any game for that matter, they want to shoot, kill, and that's it. Forget about healing, forget it. But if you're a healer and you don't heal, all of a sudden you're the worst person in the world. Meanwhile, if they ever play heal or they ever play support, they're straight trashing it. But that's me going on a tangent. But anyway, like I said, I play primarily support, and I also play a little bit of tank. I rarely ever get to play as assault, because everyone who plays in these games always pick a DPS slash assault. So so I was playing the game. I played the game a little bit with Big L, and he didn't particularly care for it because it has a little bit too much PvP for his liking. He's not a big PvP fan. It does have PvE, but there is, you gotta understand with Big L, if there's even a smidgen of PvP in it, he's not gonna like the game. So it could be like 95% PvE, and then that last 5% is PvP. And Big L is like, I hate this game. So that's what you gotta understand with Big L in regards to, especially in regards to online MMO or online games. But anyway, yeah, I really did enjoy the game. So far, I'm on level, my player level is like 15. The game came out on the 14th. I'm recording this on, I think, the 17th. So, no, I'm recording this on the 16th. I'm sorry. So, I'm recording this on the 16th. I've only played the game for about 2 days, and I didn't start from the very beginning. Unlike Big L, I think Big L played maybe 3 or 4 matches, and he lost every single match because people are playing, you gotta understand, people, since the game is on Game Pass, and there's gonna be a lot more Xbox players than there are Capcom players, because if you play on PC or any other console, because it's cross-platform, if you play on any other console, it's just gonna say Capcom on it as opposed to anything else. So, but, or if you're playing on Xbox, then it's gonna show an Xbox emblem, and then you know you're playing against other Xbox players. But since it's on Game Pass, you're gonna have a whole lot more people playing the game under playing the game because it's on Game Pass. So, but with that comes a lot of people who aren't used to playing games like that. So you're gonna get a lot of people who don't know how to play the game or don't know how to play the game correctly. But I don't blame those people per se, because I played the game with Big L and I played the game with Soapbox. And even with Soapbox, who's used to playing games like this, was like, yo, I don't understand what's going on. Because the game itself doesn't really give you a tutorial into playing the game. The game gives you a tutorial based upon like the most basic stuff, like how you move around, how you move the camera around, how you shoot, how you do use some of your other like auxiliary weapons and stuff like that. But it doesn't explain to you what you should be doing. So when you get into the game, it's just like, it's like it gives you like a waypoint thing that you could follow when you're playing like Leviathan is watching the whole thing, picking up data, and then there's like this watcher like thing that's with you, and it's also showing you where you should be going. But that only happens when you go from place to place to place. So yeah, there's a lot of moments in time, which I know even for me when I was playing the game, there was moments in time in which I'm like, what are we doing here? What's going on? And then as I got like, I probably got like 15 battles in, maybe 20. As I got into these battles and I started realizing what other people were doing, especially considering I was doing so well and I was ended up paired with other people who are more experienced in playing the game, I kind of figured out what they were doing and how, you know, and then I took, you know, my experience in like Overwatch and those other hero shooters to play this game. Because ultimately, it's funny because when I was talking to Soapbox Jay about it, I was like, I don't know, it's kind of hero shooter-esque. And he was like, no, it's a hero shooter, but it has robots in it. So, and then I thought about it, yeah, it is. It really is a hero shooter, except unlike most hero shooters where you don't really, well, I can't say most, because there are some hero shooters where you can change your loadouts. Like, when I'm thinking about this just now, at first when I thought about hero shooters, it was Overwatch and just Overwatch. Overwatch, you can only play as the character you select, and that's it. Whereas Apex Legends, which is a shooter, a hero shooter to some extent, because you got characters, you could kind of change out your loadout a little bit. So, and this game is similar to that. It's similar to like Apex Legends and stuff like that, because you could change your loadout. You only have, like, for the most part, like, there's back weapons you could pick from. Like, there's what looks to be kind of like a rail gun kind of like thing. And you could swap that out for a healer, a field, they call it a field healing thing, where it just brings out a small circle that you can, as long as you're standing in it, it'll give you some heals. They got like a jump pack thing that gives you extra boost when you're jumping and stuff like that. So they got a couple of different back weapons. There's a couple other kind of weapons that you can select. As a whole, I like the game. It can be a little repetitive, but I do like when I was progressing through the story, because the more battles you play in, whether you win or lose, you progress through the story. Of course, you progress through the story quicker when you win, but what is she doing? When you hear me saying things like that, I'm actually sitting in the parking lot of my church. I'm about to go inside. I wanted to record this real quick. But yeah, as you progress quicker, if you win, you can get progress quicker. If you lose, you progress slower. So I've been like I said, my first like 10 matches I won. So I progressed through the story. I think I'm like 30% through the story. And it's the first couple of matches when I would play, because you got to go through, like, you land on the line, you land in the board. And you're going from section to section fighting dinosaurs. Then when the Leviathan felt that you did well enough, which basically you went through all the sections first, it transports you to another simulation. And then from that simulation, you go and from that simulation, you go into one of, like, from what I found, three different kind of end simulation types. One is like a payload type, where you're taking like basically the payload from point A to point B, and when you get to point B is downloading information, but at that moment you get to interact with the other team you're fighting, you're playing against, and then you can fight them toward the end. Another one is just basically going through what you already went through in regards to going from point A, B, C, D, E until you get to the end. And then you do this, then you fight at the end, and then whoever beats the most dinosaurs wins. The most recent one I did was, it was kind of like it reminds me of Halo kind of, where there's a hammer and you're fighting dinosaurs to build the hammer up. The hammer appears, you break through the barrier, you get into the next section. Do the same thing until you get to the end, and then that's it. Whoever loses, there's an animation in which you see the dinosaurs just rip you apart. Whoever wins, you know, you won, and, you know, shows everything else. And then at the end, when it shows you who the MVP is, then it shows you, Leviathan shows you the best of everyone who played on both teams. So if your team did extremely well, you may get all the, besides MVP, you may get all the other awards. But if, you know, like for me, like being a support, I'm usually better than the support on the other team, so I usually get the support awards more so. So yeah, I so far so good. I like the game. Like I said, I'm not that far into it, so we'll see if it starts getting really repetitive. I mean, hero shooters tend to get really repetitive anyway, but yeah, so far so good. So Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2 is finally here, and as fans like myself and other fans around the world, the popular anime series could be more exciting.
picking up where the thrilling first season left off, basically. The first two episodes, there are two episodes that are available as of right now in season two. Basically, those two episodes go further into the lore of Jujutsu Kaisen and introducing two new characters. Not two new characters, but kind of fleshing out the whole crew, of Tokyo High. You're introduced to some new characters, including Mei Mei and So you're introduced to Mei Mei and a couple of the characters. And I know the first episode and the second episode, you get a younger Satori and Nobara. And so far so good. I'm really enjoying the first two episodes. I mean, the first episode was great. I'm actually somewhere like in between the second episode as we speak. But yeah, so far so good. I'm really enjoying it. I thought we were going to go a little further with, you know, what was going on in season one and a little bit. But it kind of makes sense because season one, we had what was. And then Jujutsu Kaisen Zero showed up. And it gave us a background on the students that were in the first one. And now we're getting more background on Gojo and some of the older people in the school. When they were young and, you know, young, dumb. So, you know, so far so good. I mean, I really do enjoy it. I am a fan of Jujutsu Kaisen. At one time, I had Gojo on my phone. And, you know, when I had my, when I had the Samsung Galaxy Fold Z Flip 3, I had to modify a sticker of Gojo to put onto my phone. Because anybody who knows the Flip and the Fold series fold. So they fold up. So, but so far so good. I really enjoyed the first two episodes. There were some really good fight scenes in the first episode and even in the second. You had, you know, there was, you know, the visuals in the anime. I mean, I can't knock it. I mean, it turns out, some of the anime that I love the most within the last like 3 to 5 years have all come out of Studio MAPPA. So, you know, whether that's Jujutsu Kaisen, whether that's Punchline, whether that's Hell's Paradise, you know, Chainsaw Man, a lot of these shows that I really enjoy. I was surprised even by some of them that I really enjoy. It's like Category is also a MAPPA. So, you know, it's a lot of anime that MAPPA makes that I really enjoy. And they have some, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2 is just right along with the rest of them. I have to finish watching, you know, I'm kind of behind on Hell's Paradise. So, I'm kind of waiting for the dub to catch up with the sub. So it might have been caught up already or not, but yeah, basically the first two episodes of Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2 seemed to be pretty successful. They pick up right where, kind of like where we left off with Zero in the first season. Of course, the storytelling is on par and the animation is on par. And to introduce certain new characters like Mei Mei and Maki, Zenin is, you know, injects some good fresh energy and helps you build out the cast of characters that are associated with that anime. So, you know, I'm really, like I said, I really enjoy it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. So far, it's a strong start to season two. So, did kind of switch gears because Jujutsu Kaisen has some humorous aspects, but it's a lot of seriousness. You have so you have the other anime
that I wanted to talk about, which is the legendary hero is dead. The anime is more of a comedy. It's kind of hard for me to watch because the main character, the protagonist, is the biggest perverted hentai loving basically character. He has an obsession with stockings, putting stockings on things. Like, he literally took a turnip out of the ground and it was thick, and he was just like, he gave it like this weird psychotic look, and then he all of a sudden he came out of nowhere with a stocking and just slid the stocking onto the turnip. So I don't know, I'm just like so done. I'm like, bro. And then he has, of course he has a childhood friend, or I don't even know if she's a childhood, no, she gotta be a childhood friend because I'm pretty sure he mentioned it, who's thick, completely thick, big breasts, thick thighs, nice hips, and he's like obsessed with putting, like, you know, some sort of stockings on him. But the reason on her, but the reason why I mention it is because in their world, demons come out and fight and kill, try to kill humans all the time. So as he's having this conversation with her and she's telling him, hey, we have to defend for when the next round of demons show up, of course, right at that moment, a demon shows up talking about, I'm ready to eat some human flesh because it's wonderful. And then the guy goes, the main character, like, basically the demon comes, tries to fight and kill the girl he wants to marry, and so then he makes like a roast pork and he's like fanning the aroma to the demon, and demon's like, I hate pork, but I'm gonna get some of this. So he goes to get her, and then of course the legendary hero shows up and he fights him and kills him, and his girl, the girl he likes, all of a sudden she's like offering him to come into the house and eat her cooking. And I don't know if that's a euphemism for anything else, but I don't know, knowing this show, it could very well be. And yeah, there's a lot of craziness going on with this show, and that was just the very beginning of the first episode. And you know, ultimately the main character kills the legendary hero on some like really odd weird stuff. Like, he literally made traps for the demons to fall in and die, and the demons avoid those traps altogether. Meanwhile, the legendary hero just walks into the trap. He sees the roast pork, walks over the roast pork and falls down the trap and dies. So, you know, he goes to bury. He's like, everybody's like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They're going to find out. He's like, nobody's going to find out. And if they do, they're going to blame you for it anyway. So then they buried the legendary hero's body. So, you know, of course, he ends up going to bed. And then the next morning, he wakes up in the legendary hero's body. Of course, it's decomposing, so he smells like rotting flesh. But there's a whole lot of other things going on. There's a companion a legendary hero has, his necromancer. Most people frown upon necromancers. So she puts the main character into the body of the rotting legendary hero, and then it goes on out from there. So of course at one point the main character decides he wants to, since he's in this body, he's going to try and get with his friend, but that doesn't work. And then she found out it was him and he had to do all this other stuff. But the show is crazy. Needless to say, everything I'm saying, the show is a crazy show. It's a comedy. I think it's funny to some extent. I think it's a funny show. It's not the funniest comedy anime I've watched, but it's definitely something. And I think a lot of people like it. It definitely has a lot of fan service. It definitely has a lot of ecchi moments. And that's only in the first. I only watched two episodes of it, and there's a lot of fan service in it. So, and it doesn't help that, you know, the main character loves putting stockings on thighs. So, you know, if he likes that, if that's coming from the main character, you know, it's going to be a whole lot of that, fan service and all, in this anime. So, yeah. So, would I recommend watching it? If you're the type of person who likes fan service, likes, you know, pervy main characters, then this is right down your alley. It's not overtly like serious, not like Jujutsu Kaisen, but it has way more comedic attributes to it. It's more on the comedic side, whereas Jujutsu Kaisen is more on the dramatic, serious side. So I think the two anime, of course, if you watch Jujutsu Kaisen the first season and Zero, you're going to definitely like the second season. The first two episodes are right on that same path. And then Legendary Hero is Dead. Obviously, the name of the name of the anime tells you right off the bat what to expect. So, and then within the first like 5 minutes, you already know what the tone of this anime is going to be. So, yeah, would I recommend watching them? I'm definitely going to watch Jujutsu Kaisen regardless. But in regards to the Legendary Hero is Dead, I probably end up seeing that, but I'm not going to see it with the same fervor as I would see it in regards to like Jujutsu Kaisen or anything else like that. So, yeah. So to close out this episode, gonna mention two things. Of course, if you've noticed, I'm gonna re-listen to this podcast myself, this episode, to notice if there's any difference in sound quality in regards to using a new mic or using the my phone itself. So we're looking to that. By the way, the mic that I'm using, if you do listen to the show and you actually do like how the other mic sounds, the intro was done with the new mic. The Jujutsu Kaisen and Legendary Hero part was done with the new mic, and the Exo Primal part was done with just coming off of my phone, which happens to be a Google Pixel 6 Pro. And the outro was also done with the Google with the microphone that comes with the mic, that comes with the phone automatically. So yeah, just for reference so that people would know. Also, some quick hitters before we end out the show. As it turns out, another country has approved Microsoft's acquisition of Blizzard, Activision Blizzard. It looks like it's probably going to go through, which is a good thing. I know Activision itself, a lot of people who are fans of Call of Duty and some of the other properties that Activision Blizzard has are really happy, because basically Activision Blizzard has been doing everything to make money. They haven't really been trying to take old properties, old IPs, and making new stuff out of them. So hopefully Microsoft will start coming out with some of the stuff that they've been putting by the wayside. You know, a lot of people looking at Microsoft maybe making another like Guitar Hero or something like that, or some of the other game properties that they make. Other than that, I also noticed that I think it was 2 days ago, there was a official gameplay reveal of a game that I used to play a long time ago. It was in like I think 2012 was the last time they made a game, which is Test Drive. The Test Drive series is coming out with another installment. Test Drive Unlimited series, more specifically, is coming out with something. Test Drive Unlimited Solar Crown. And they have an official gameplay trailer that you can watch on IGN and GameSpot or whatever it's called. And you could easily find it online. I'm sure Test Drive themselves is doing it. I think Ubisoft does Test Drive. So I'm happy to see that. You know, we have Gran Turismo, but that's not like Test Drive is not really like Test Drive. Is like Gran Turismo, don't get me wrong. It's not really. Test Drive is kind of more like Need for Speed. So the series itself, the franchise itself, has been more like Need for Speed. But Test Drive Unlimited, more specifically, kicked off the open world driving simulator / arcade racer. Because Test Drive Unlimited 1 was the original open racing sim. Open world racing game. So, and then Test Drive Unlimited 2 happened. I believe that was on the Big Island in Hawaii. I don't know which one is which, but I'm almost positive it was the Big Island in Hawaii. And now it looks like they're coming out with Test Drive Unlimited Solar Crown, which I know they announced it back in 2020, and you haven't really heard anything of it, but within the last couple days, they've been releasing some stuff. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'm a big racing, as most people who know me personally or throughout the years with this podcast, I really enjoy racing games. I've played Gran Turismo, pretty much every Gran Turismo up until the PS5 version. I haven't played that one yet. And I've played all the Forzas. I'm looking forward to Motorsport 7 coming out, or whatever they call it now, coming out shortly. And I've played all the Horizons. I've played Need for Speeds. I've played, you know, what was it, Ridge Racer back in the day. You know, I've played a lot of racing games. Aside from mech games, which Exo Primal fits that, aside from mech games and sports games, my bread and butter is racing games. So, but on that note, that's all I have for today. As always, for Otaku, by Otaku, thanks for listening, guys. And peace.